All right, thank you. So the title is intentionally vague because when I submitted that abstract several months ago, I had no idea what I would be presenting. So it's a good thing I did because a lot of the analytics I'm going to present didn't exist several months ago. So these are things that are developing. I work with Harris Geospatial, which a lot of you might know, Envy IDL image processing software that's been around for about 30 years out of the University of Colorado in Boulder. IDL's interactive data language, so doing a lot of routines, history and multispectral, hyperspectral image processing, so a long history there. Newer is UAVs, so, and focusing on the precision agriculture market in general. But some of the products that we have working with UAVs, one is One Button that handles some of the photogrammetric processing in the back end, so DSM generation, orthorectification, mosaicing is handled by One Button. Envy, as I mentioned, image-to-image registration, atmosphere correction, which is something we haven't talked a lot about and something that we've traditionally done with satellite imagery. And just because we're flying under the clouds with drones doesn't mean that we don't have to atmospherically correct for data. We still have scattering that's coming on the downcoming radiation with Rayleigh scattering, Mie scattering, things that affect your processing. And if you're doing temporal analysis over time, if you're looking at spectrometer data that you've collected in the field with a spectrometer that's in reflectance units, you need to have that imagery in reflectance units to make those comparisons and that analysis as well. IDL, interactive data language, I mentioned, that's what Envy is built upon. It's been around, again, 30 years. Jaguar is for geospatial data management, being able to archive your UAV data and pull that back. It's actually developed for defense and intelligence agency, but we're able to take that because of Harris Corporation, which is a larger organization. We're a smaller part of that organization, but we can take some of the technology developed for defense and apply that to commercial markets like precision agriculture. And finally, a geospatial services framework, which is our way to deploy our analytics to the enterprise or into different platforms. I know several people have mentioned other platforms that we've got, so we can integrate and expose analytics in those different platforms. So having said that, I just want to touch on some of the recent work we've done. We've developed a crop science module, and some of the tools we have are for automatically counting crops, doing hotspot analysis to determine areas, basically scouting maps of fields, applying statistical analytics and monitoring vegetation health over time. So we apply some of the change detection techniques that we have inside of Envy, but doing it with drone imagery throughout the growing season. So I mentioned Envy Crop Science module is an add-on module to the Envy desktop software. You see in the bottom left, these are what we have now. That list is continuing to grow. So we have the tool to enhance the crops, which is optional. Crop count, then look at the spectral crop metrics for specific crops once we have individual crops counted. Or hotspot analysis if we're looking at a pixel-based across a larger area. We can do that as well. So we're not going to hit on every single one of these, but we'll go through some of the different tools and show you how they work. So these are what we're actually going after. So just understanding yield estimates, overview of farm health over time, row-by-row analysis. We have some tools to automatically identify row crops, individual plant statistics I mentioned, time series analysis, and enterprise ready. Once we have these workflows on the desktop, we can publish those out into a platform and be able to run those at scale. So here's the first one. So building upon the indices that we have inside of Envy, and these are dependent upon what wavelengths you have available in your imagery. So in this we have four-band imagery, RGB, near-infrared imagery. So with that, you get about 26, 27 different spectral indices that you can run. So basically, this is the first step. We've run through those indices. It creates a layer stacked image, so basically a 26-layer image that has the different indices that have been calculated. And we use something called the band animation tool inside of Envy, so we can flip through. And what we're looking for is either really bright areas or really dark areas to be able to extract those individual crops. This particular example is for grapefruits. And as you flip through, you can see we ended up using the green sum index in the top left, which has each one of the crowns is extremely dark. And then we have the enhanced crops tool, which basically inverses your data, makes all of those dark objects light objects, which is what our algorithm is looking for. So the crop counting algorithm takes a single band image as input with bright objects that it's looking for to identify individual crops. So here's the result for the crop counting. It's basically you put in a minimum and maximum crop diameter, and then you can adjust the number of iterations just depending on how closely you want to be able to measure the diameter of the tree canopies. and the other ones are optional. And then you run, and again, this is probably a best case scenario with grapefruits. You've got nice separation of between the canopies. You have circular objects, so this is certainly one of the easier cases that we've done using the crop counting tool. Just to show a couple of examples of other things we've done, citrus on the left, which in this example was actually a lot easier because you've got soil in between the trees, but when you're here in Florida and you've got strips of grass and you're trying to differentiate between green grass, green citrus trees, it becomes a little bit more challenging, but it's where some of the tools that we have for identifying row crops can work as well. But so we've tried several different crop types at this point. On the right is corn. This is a young corn. This is just an RGB image, so you don't have as many options for doing spectral indices. So basically, on the left, what we did was a decorrelation stretch to get better separation between the bands. And then we just used the green band and inverted that as the input into the crop counting tool. But you can see, not perfect, like with the grapefruit, but yeah, not bad for a starting point with this tool. A couple of other ones, emerging cotton on the left did extremely well. Actually, these are just coming out, and date palms on the right out in California. So we've been working with some customers, and if you have imagery that you're working with and would like to test it out, we're always looking for more sample data to kind of, you know, test the tools and push the envelope to see what's possible. Once you have some of these tools, this is our modeler, which we just had the modeler recently. This is now in beta, but we can chain together some of these workflows. So this is basically doing a spectral subset, enhancing the crops, doing the crop count, and then doing export to shapefile. And you can just automate this stuff so you don't have to run this step by step. And this is a fairly simple example of that. We'll show you a little bit more complex example here in just a minute. So once we have those individual crops, we basically are stored in a JSON file, or we can export to shapefile. And then depending on, again, which wavelengths or what bands we have available, we have those same spectral indices that we can use to calculate crop metrics for individual crops across the field. So here's an example of taking those same tools that we created on the desktop and then applying those as customized tasks inside of our geospatial services framework. So this is just our own personal platform. It's all API driven where we can connect into different systems, but just an easier way. You don't have to have desktop software. We dial in the parameters for you once we publish those models, and then you have it available through a web client. So same thing, we got 3,794 crops that are counted in just a few seconds. After that, if we don't have individual crop counts, if we're looking at maybe mature corn, we can do spectral hotspot analysis, which does a pixel-based hotspot analysis across the field. And this one, also there's just search distance is the only really parameter that we have as an input for that, but gives us basically a scouting map for the fields. And again, porting that out to a web application, we can do that using the Geospatial Services Framework and make it a lot easier to be able to run. And there we go, same result. Just several different examples, moisture stress index. This is actually with hyperspectral imagery. So again, with ENVI, a lot of the history of ENVI has been with hyperspectral imagery processing. So we do have a lot of tools and additional indices that would be available if you are using hyperspectral imagery. So this is just a couple of examples of that. Change detection, so looking at multiple dates and looking at change over those dates. So there's pixel-based change detection inside of ENVI. There's also thematic change, just depending on what exactly you're looking at. So here we've got February 1st on the top, March 30th on the bottom, and run a hotspot analysis on each one of those and then do a change detection. In this example, I believe it's spider mite infestation over, was it strawberries? Yeah, strawberries here in Florida, actually. So now taking those individual sort of pieces, individual tools, and putting it all together. So we start with the data preparation, which unfortunately those left two columns are probably 95% of the work, so collecting the data that you need, finding the variables that you need, and getting it into the right place. So in this case, we're doing the orthorectification, we're doing the mosaicing. In our case, we're using one button. We're doing radiometric calibration as well as atmospheric correction using the tools we have inside of Envy. And then the vegetation indices are run as well. Variable collection, so for this one, we're looking at some weather data. So we've got air temperature, precipitation, we've got crop type, soil type, and a couple of others as our independent variables, and then we have our crop health as the dependent variable. So we're going to run a random forest regression model on that and then put out the variable importance for the field that we were looking at previously that obviously had something going on the left side of the field where you saw lesser vegetation help than on the right side of the field. So this is what that model looks like. So you can quickly get, yes, hi. So this is an example of the model. Again, this model builder is in beta, and we do have a beta program if you have want to test it. If you're a current Envy users and use Envy, we are looking for people to kind of take it for a spin, try to break it and test out some of the models that you have. On the far left, or up top, is the actual input image, doing our vegetation index, and then collecting the additional variables that we've got, crop type, soil type, air temperature, precipitation, wind speed, and wind direction. So after running that model, you can see up top the wind direction and wind speed were the two variables that were contributing most to that field, that particular field that we were looking at earlier in the image. A couple other things to mention. On the left is the task list. So inside of the modeler, you basically have all of the functions available inside of Envy are available as tasks. So it's an easy way to chain together functions and more complex workflows. We also have IDL to Python bridge, as well as R to IDL bridge. So we can, if you're writing in R or Python, or you already have things that you've written, you can also integrate those into the modeler as well, which we're actually doing inside of this example. And integrating with partner platforms. So like I said, just gathering some of those variables is the hardest part of the work, getting that weather information. So just recently, we were working with ClimateCorp's FieldView application, doing some Envy analytics, and then trying to push those into other partner platforms. I noticed the collaboration project at Texas A&M sounds extremely interesting. We're doing some of that same thing, where we're taking the analytics up to where the data is, as opposed to people having to run it on their desktops every time. So we're trying to just take the analytics to the data. But certainly, I would be interested in learning more about the platform and what you guys are doing with that collaboration project. And with that, we have time for a couple questions. Yeah.
Right there.
Thank you.
Quick question.
Yeah.
So with that Python bridge,
yeah.
Does that mean that you're going to be able to automate the stuff that you're doing in that modeling software using Python?
Yeah, so you can integrate Python code inside of the modeler. Yeah, and one of the things, in the modeler, it'll actually produce the code for you. So this is like a desktop product part of the Envy, but we have a generate code, so it'll create a custom task, and then we take that task and can run that inside of either our platform or your platform, whatever it is.
Okay.
Well, we're producing IDL, but because it's IDL, you can run any Python code through IDL because of that bridge, that IDL Python bridge. Yeah. Great question. No, but we have tool. It actually does. So we have a workflow, a change detection workflow that'll do the image-to-image registration as part of that. But that's a very good point, and something just came up recently when I was looking at multi-temporal data UAV. There's a significant offset, so I had to manually go in and do it. But we do have some wizard-driven tools that have image-to-image registration, and those are actually built in as tasks. So if you wanted to build that, you know, more complex task, you do the front-end processing, and that's what we're trying to do: is automate as much of that grunt work up front so you can focus on the analysis part and not have to do the image-to-image registration, orthorectification, or, you know, atmosphere correction. That's a lot of, you know, like I said, 90% of the work is that. Yeah.
Just curious, can we create out only includes or customize systems?
Sure.
You mentioned Python and R.
Yeah.
So that includes create out only
systems? Yeah, you can. We have band math. There's tools inside of Envy that you can create your own custom band math or any sort of indices that you want to create. But again, if you have them already written in Python, we can integrate those as well.
And if you have our own database, how
Yeah, so with the Geospatial Services Framework, we've kept it sort of generic so we can talk to any sort of backend. We haven't focused on the database, so we can basically tie into whatever data source that that you have on the backend. That's we're kind of agnostic as far as data.
Does it work with AWS at all?
It does, yeah. That's what it's sitting on. The example I showed with the web client, that's all on AWS. And yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.